We're going to read verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And for another opportunity to look into it, guide us into the truth through the working of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today, we live in an age where people have a good appetite for food. And while there are nations that are starving, we in America have an abundance of food to satisfy our appetite. But in this sermon, I want to talk to you about another type of appetite. I want to talk to you about your spiritual appetite. And I want to help you to develop a spiritual appetite. Just like there used to be certain foods that I would not eat, now that I'm an adult, when I see those same foods on the table, I look at them with great joy. For example, I used to hate Brussels sprouts. But now I've developed a taste for Brussels sprouts, and I enjoy eating them, especially when they're soaked in lots of butter. And but I enjoy eating Brussels sprouts. And just as it is possible to develop a taste for certain foods, a Christian can develop a taste for spiritual things. Now, as we think about this morning, there are basically two things I want you to consider. First of all, the plan. The plan. Now, the plan for spiritual growth is found in verse 2. As newborn babes, that is, just like a newborn baby does, you should desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, in this verse of scripture, Peter is telling these Christians two things. Number one, Peter is telling them that they should have a craving. They should have a desire for spiritual food. And number two, he tells them that the reason they should crave this is, as he says, that ye may grow thereby. Now, it's a natural thing for a child to want to grow. Nobody wants to remain a child all their life. And that's why children like to dress up in mommy and daddy's clothes and play grown up, right? They like to pretend they're grown up. It's not normal for a child to want to remain a child. And this is what Peter is talking about in this verse of scripture. Christians should have a craving for spiritual food so they can grow. You know, we've all heard babies cry when they were hungry. If they're hungry and they can't get food, you can hear them in the next zip code. I mean, they let you know that they're hungry. But you know what? That's natural, right? It's not natural for a baby to not want to eat. As a matter of fact, a lack of appetite in a baby is usually a sign of a problem. And it's true with adults as well. We can have a delicious, nutritious, tasty meal set before us, but if we don't have an appetite for food, then when we try to eat it, it's going to be like taking a dose of castor oil. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to give us a dose of that stuff once a year, and I don't know why. It was awful. Castor oil, I guess, is good for you if you got stomach problems, but it almost gags you on the way down. And the truth is, if you ask some folks who do not have an appetite for the word to come to church so they can hear the word preached, it's almost as if they start gagging. And unfortunately, in our day and age, there are a lot of Christians who are like that. And it's not difficult to understand why there are so many weak and frail Christians in the church today. It's because they have no appetite for the Word of God. Oh, sure, you know, if there's something involving food at the church, they'll come. Or if there's some entertainment at the church, they'll come. Or if the, you know, the kids are doing something at church, they'll come. But if the focus is on the Word of God, then a lot of times it's like pulling teeth to get them to come, and that's a real shame, you know. And thankfully, that's not true of everyone, but in a lot of cases, it is. You see, if you are not growing spiritually, it's because of either one of two problems. Number one is, either one of these two can be true. Number one could be, I'm not preaching the Word of God. But number two would be, you are not receptive to the preaching of the Word of God. And listen, if I stand behind this pulpit and I am not preaching the Word of God, I will be held accountable. But if I am preaching the Word of God and you are not receptive to the Word of God, then you will be held accountable. It works both ways. Every Christian should have an appetite for the Word of God. And when it's church time, you should be here to receive the Word of God. And then when you're not in church, like Monday through Saturday, you should be personally snacking on the Word of God all during the week through your daily Bible reading. Now, when it comes to faithfully attending the house of God for preaching services, I think of the letter from a faithful church member to his pastor. The letter goes like this. Dear Pastor, you often stress attendance at worship as being very important for a Christian. But I think a person has a right to miss Sunday worship now and then. I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and the number of times indicated. Number one, Christmas, either the Sunday before or the Sunday after for traveling purposes. New Year's, because sometimes the party lasts too long. Easter, because we have to be away for the holidays. July 4th, because that's a national holiday and everybody should have that on. Labor Day, because we need to get away one more time. Memorial Day, because we need to visit family and barbecue together. We need a Sunday off for spring break, because the kids need a break. We need a Sunday off for school when school opens, because we need one last summer fling. We need Sundays off for family reunions, mine and my wife's. Two Sundays for sleeping late, because of Saturday night activities. We need at least two Sundays per year for deaths in the family, because that's the average in our family. We need a Sunday off for our anniversary so we can go on our second honeymoon. We need Sundays off for sickness, at least one per family member. We need Sundays off for business trips. That's a must. We need Sundays off for vacation. We need at least three for vacation. We need Sundays off for bad weather, ice, snow, rain, and sometimes just clouds. We need Sundays off for ball games, at least six per season. We need Sundays off for unexpected company, because you can't just walk out and leave them. We need a couple of Sundays off for time changes. You know, that spring ahead and fall back thing confuses us. And we need Sundays off for specials on TV, like the Super Bowl and the World Series. And then the letter continues, Pastor, that leaves two Sundays per year. So you can count on us to be in church on the fourth Sunday in February and the third Sunday in August, unless providentially hindered. Sincerely, signed, a faithful church member. Well, the truth is, as a Christian, we should have a natural craving for the Word of God, the same way that a newborn baby has a craving for physical milk. And the place we come to be fed is to church. And based on what I know about the Word of God, I have a problem with many who claim to be a child of God and have no appetite for the Word of God on Sundays or any other day of the week, for that matter. I'm reminded of the time the Lord was teaching a crowd of 5,000 people one day, and he saw that they were hungry. And he had compassion on that crowd, and based on obtainable resources, right, 5 loaves, 2 fish, a little boy's lunch, he miraculously fed them all. Well, if you continue on reading, you find that later on, many of that 5,000 tracked Jesus down, and they found him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the reason that they were after him was because they wanted more food. And the crowd's interest in food was an occasion for Jesus to talk about another kind of appetite that they should have, which, of course, was their spiritual appetite. And so in John chapter 6 and verse 51, Jesus says to them, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And so you notice there he says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Now the word bread here is not like what we think of as bread. It's not talking about a loaf of bread. It's the word for food in general. And the two questions that come out of this are these. Number one, what is this food that is eternal? And number two, what kind of hunger is Jesus talking about? And what he's talking about is a spiritual food that satisfies a spiritual kind of hunger in the human soul. Have you ever been hungry for something, but you just didn't know what it was you were craving? Well, we know, of course, that the devil offers us all kinds of things. But what the devil has to offer does not satisfy. What the devil has to offer is like a man that drinks salt water from the ocean. The more he drinks of it, the thirstier he becomes. Remember, King Solomon in the Old Testament teaches us about this. He had a hunger for happiness and tried everything he knew to satisfy that hunger for happiness. He sent ships all over the world to search out magnificent treasures. No expense was too great to bring from afar everything that would bring delight to his heart. No expense was too great to keep King Solomon entertained. And he talks about this in the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says this, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." And Solomon certainly was great, and he did increase more than any other before him. Whatever he desired, he went after. He had horses and chariots beyond number. He had wealth without measure. His great strength and wealth and wisdom were recognized all over the earth. But listen to the very next thing he says in verse 11. He says, "Then I looked on all the works of that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And then it even gets worse. As you read on in the passage, you get down to verse 17, and he says, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And Solomon's point was that what the devil offers us does not satisfy our hunger. And that's why Jesus said there in John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now, many in the crowd that came to Jesus did not really get what Jesus was talking about. They could only think of physical, perishable food for the stomach. But when Jesus says that we're to eat his flesh in that passage, he was speaking about something spiritual, not physical. He was using the illustration of his flesh spiritually when he says we're to eat of this flesh, this bread. Now, how do we do this? How do we eat of his flesh spiritually? Well, the Bible tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says. When the Lord was here on earth, the hearers got to hear the spoken Word of God right from his lips. But we don't have that today. Today, God speaks to us through the written Word of God. And when we partake of God's Word as it's being preached and as we read it, then we are partaking of Christ. We're eating his flesh, speaking spiritually. And Peter tells these Christians that they need a craving for the Word of God. A person that is really, really hungry doesn't think food might be nice to have, right? No, it's a must. They need it. Man's physical nature requires a suitable physical support. And the spiritual part of man works the same way. It too must have food to eat to survive and grow spiritually. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it's the same thing that the prophet Jeremiah was talking about in Jeremiah 15:16, when he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The body must have food at stated times. Every day we must have physical food. And if you're ever going to grow in the Lord, it will only be because you've had a steady daily diet of spiritual food. You've had a daily steady diet of the Word of God. That is God's plan for spiritual growth. Daily in the Word, through your Bible reading, and then being taught the Word through the preaching of the Word at church. That's the plan for spiritual growth. Now, I said at the beginning there were two things I wanted to talk to you about. The second one we'll talk about very quickly. I've called it the problem. We talked about the plan. Here's the problem. There are some things that can hinder our spiritual growth. And for those, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, and again, verses 1-3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So the problem is this. Too many are eating spiritual junk food. And there's a lot of spiritual junk food around today. It never ceases to amaze me that some who profess to be Christians will listen to some of the garbage that is on so-called Christian television. Now, not everybody on Christian television is bad, don't get me wrong, but there are lots and lots of crazy preachers on Christian television who bring their false doctrine and their foolish ways and their millionaire lifestyles and their constant begging for money, and they do it all in the name of Christ. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who will listen to that and then talk about how much they like what they hear. They choose to continue to listen to it, even though the Bible clearly says that we are to reject false doctrine and reprove false doctrine and avoid false doctrine. It's like the story of the prodigal son. You can either eat from the hog trough or you can eat from the father's table, and you have to decide. Someone has said, sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. And that's absolutely true. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We are, as we said, to have this hunger for the word of God, like a newborn baby hungers for food. When a baby is hungry, everyone knows about it. And that baby needs one thing and will not stop crying until it gets it. And Christians ought to have that same desire for the Word of God. We ought to accept nothing less than the real thing, not diluted, not candy coated, not spray painted, but the pure stuff, the Word of God. God has spread His table and loaded it down with the best things He possesses. And when it's church time, you ought to come with an appetite to be fed the Word of God. And then during the week when you're not in church, you ought to be snacking on the Word of God daily through your daily Bible reading. And so my challenge to you this morning is very simple. As we begin a new year, let's make this the year of the Bible in our lives. Let's make a commitment to really get into this book. Let's read it, let's study it, let's listen to it, let's obey it, and let's put it into practice. Let's be the people of the Word that God has called us to be. Let's desire the Bible like a newborn baby desires milk. And then let me close with this. If you've never done so before, why not start by obeying the gospel as the Bible says we should do? And by obeying the gospel, we're talking about believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven and came down to this earth, took on human flesh at Bethlehem, lived a perfect, sinless life, went about doing good, and then shed His blood and died on an old rugged cross for our sins, taking upon himself the penalty for sin that we deserved. And then 3 days later, he rose again so we could have eternal life. When you put your faith and your trust in the Christ who did that for you, then you have obeyed the gospel. And that is your greatest need. So why not today call out to Christ in prayer and let him know that you believe that gospel and that you are trusting him and him alone for forgiveness and eternal life and the assurance of heaven. Let him know that you are trusting him as your Savior. And then once you have taken that step of faith, then we encourage you to join us in our daily quest to be people of the Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures this morning and the challenge that Peter gives us concerning the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to love this old book and read it and study it and learn it and apply it to our lives so that our lives can be all that you would have them to be. And then, Lord, we also pray that if there's somebody here this morning that does not know your Son Jesus in a personal way, that this morning they will call out to him, put their faith and trust in him as their Savior, so that they can join us on this wonderful quest to be all that you want us to be and do all that you want us to do based on the teachings of your Word. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves to the Scriptures as we begin this new year. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Roger.